If you want to get nearer to God, you just give Him the glory that He's due. And I believe He'll draw right nigh to you. Amen. I thank God for what I feel in this place. I thank Him that He's real. I like it when people get excited about serving God. I don't want to squelch anybody's fire. I know that there's a lot of individuals nowadays that's worried about wildfire, but I guarantee you that there's enough wet blankets in the church nowadays. You get a wildfire going, they'll put it out. Amen. There's enough dead, dry old individuals that are sour that if it ain't real, they'll put it out. But if you got something that's keeping you alive, it don't matter who don't like it, something in you is going to stand up and say, I got to tell the Lord how good He is to me. Got to share with somebody how much the Lord means to me. Amen. I appreciate Him tonight. I do believe it is holiness. I like what Brother Kenny said. I believe that righteous and saved people will be holy people. And I'm going to tell you this. Sister Rose said it right. I'm not going to spend much time on it. My wife's getting ready to sing a song. But I want to say this. There's a lot of individuals that's dressing right, that's toting a high standard, and they're just as, help me to say it right, mean and ugly is right, but also hypocrites. It ain't all that far from here. A man's had an affair, covered it up, and it's still going on. Pretending like everything's fine. I've been ridiculed for not having anything to do with them, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care how long your sleeves are or what you preach. You better have it right on the inside. You better have it right to where before you stand before God, you know that I'm saved. I've been touched. I'm clean and I'm pure and I'm holy. I want to know that I've got it right on the inside. And I believe if you get somebody right on the inside, it will be a demonstrated representation of what God's put on the inside on the outside. I didn't kill it for anybody, did I? I want to tell you, I believe you'll look right on the outside once you get the inside right. But I also don't believe that if the inside's right and the outside's right, that you're going to sit there dead and dried up like a prune. I believe that you'll love God and there'll be so much joy in your heart and so much expectation for where you're going. Anybody ever got excited knowing you're getting ready to go on vacation? Getting ready to take a few days off and get out of the routine and go see someplace. You're excited. You can't stop talking about it. Everything. You're doing, well, I'm doing this so I can go on vacation. And I can't go there because I'm going on vacation. And then I tell you where I'm going, how excited, who I'm going with. There ought to be something in us that's so excited about going to heaven that we can't get through a day without telling somebody. Have I ever told you about where I'm going? Have I ever told you about what my home's going to be like? Have I ever told you that I've got a mansion that's a waiting me, and that I'm not going to live here forever? How is it that I've got this joy? They used to ask us that. They used to ask, how is it that you can be so happy in the life, in the world that you're living in? And it used to be a common response, because I'm born again, because I'm saved, because I'm washed in the blood, and I've got a hope that makes me not ashamed. Amen. I'm looking forward to heaven, looking forward to the realities of heaven. Looking forward to what it's going to be like. There won't be any messages over there about hypocrites. Won't be any messages about how people ought to do right. But it's just going to be glory, hallelujah. I've made it over. There's not going to be anybody proud over there. They're all just going to count it privilege to just be in His presence. To be where He is. I can't wait to go to heaven. I don't know about you. If God helps me here in a few moments. Come on, Holly, get ready to sing a song. If He'll help me in just a moment, I want to preach a little bit about the rapture to us tonight. How many want to be ready to go? Amen. You want to be ready to go? Want to be ready to meet the Lord when He comes? I want to make preparations. I want to do everything that I can to make sure that I'm living a life that's ready and prepared. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we've got one that has got postpartum depression. Whatever that might be. His sister left him tonight and he is super needy. She's over with the rest of the family we've got. It's not far from here, so pray for us while we sing. Amen.
Well, I feel like praising Him. Oh, I feel like praising Him. Oh, yes, I'm gonna praise Him in the morning, and I'll praise Him all day long. And I feel, oh, like praising Him. Oh, yes, I feel like praising, praising Him.
Yes, amen.
Oh, yes, I feel like praising, praising Him. And I'm gonna praise Him in the morning. And I'll praise Him all day long. I feel like praising, praising Him. Well, I feel like serving, serving Him.
Serving Him.
Oh, I feel like serving, serving Him. And I'm gonna serve Him in the morning. And I'll serve Him all day long. And I feel
like serving, serving Him.
I feel like praising, praising,
like praising, praising Him. Oh,
yes, I feel like praising, praising, praising Him. And I'm gonna praise Him in the morning.
Oh,
and I will praise Him all day long. And I feel
like praising, praising Him.
Now, if you don't want to praise Him, don't hinder me.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh,
boy, if you don't want to praise Him, don't hinder me.
Because I'm gonna praise Him in the morning. And I will praise Him all day long.
I'm gonna praise Him. Hallelujah.
Go like praising, praising Him.
I feel like praising, praising,
praising,
praising Him.
Yes, I feel like praising, praising Him. And I'm gonna praise Him in the morning. And I'll praise Him all day long. And I feel like praising, praising Him.
Praise Him in the morning,
and I'll praise Him all day long. I feel
like praising, praising Him. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. I believe there's been times that we've sung that song, and we've sung ourselves into praising. Anybody ever got up and you really didn't feel like praising Him, but you started anyway? And before you got done, you felt like praising Him. Amen. There's been some times that you didn't feel like really just giving God a whole lot of glory, but you started giving Him glory anyway. And before you was all said and done, you felt like giving Him glory. I'm going to tell some of you here tonight, I know it's hot. I know we're in a barn. But I'm going to tell you this, if you just raise one hand, it wouldn't take long. I don't believe you'd feel like raising the other one.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because He's done that much for you. Some of you might want to stand up and at some point just give Him a 60-second praise, just a rundown of how good He's been. But after 60 seconds of giving Him praise, it might not be enough because God's been that good to you. And you might have to take another couple minutes. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, I don't have much of a voice. I know my wife's hot and tired. I know we're worn out. I'm going to be real honest. This barn's taking it out of me this week. But there's something in me, even though my body's weary and I'm tired, there's something in me that says He's been good enough that I wish I had a voice loud enough that everybody for 5 miles around could hear that I love God and I appreciate what He's done for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I appreciate His goodness. I appreciate the opportunity. I want God to know anywhere, I'm thankful to witness for Him. Thankful to carry His word. I thought as Brother Dwayne was talking while you're turning to Luke chapter 8 about the opportunity that he got on his mail route. That should be the greatest highlight, joyous time of any of our lives when God opens a door and says, go ahead and say my name. How many knows it seems like when we first got saved, there was a lot of people that saw a difference in us. And during that time, it seemed like the door was propped open wide. And we got to tell about God everywhere. But after people get used to you, they get to know you, and they've heard your testimony, it seems like that door gets a little tighter and more shut. And you don't have that opportunity as often as you used to. But we ought to thank God for every time He kicks that door open. Let's us whisper His name. Let us mention how good He's been to us. I appreciate that. Appreciate the testimony, the desire that I've heard for those that want to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I know I've said it. I've already said it this week, but I'm going to say it again. The harvest doesn't come to us. You've got to go reap it. You've got to go to where it's at. Most of us didn't always find God because we found Him in a church because we came looking for Him. A lot of times He came looking for us in the form of a relative that wouldn't leave us alone. That really, if we were honest, they really bugged the tarnation out of us. And we didn't want to be around them, and just to get them off our back, we went to a service. Like the old song said, I went there to fight, but oh my, that night, something got a hold of me. Amen. I appreciate the Lord and what He's done for us, that He has come looking for us and found us and been so good to us. Amen. I'm going to do my best tonight. This is my last opportunity to be in this barn. There's going to be lots of good services. I believe these next 2 weeks that you all should come with an expectation that this has just been the opening, the beginning of something wonderful and new. This year's opportunity to touch God, to fellowship with Him in this place and in this atmosphere. But I want to leave you with this thought before I leave tonight. Just look into Luke chapter 8. Let's read this familiar story together. I do desire your prayers tonight. My voice feels about as scratchy as it's felt in about the last 3 or 4 months. And I've been preaching straight about the last 3 or 4 months. And so if the Lord would help me tonight, I would greatly appreciate it. I've got the next 2 nights to recuperate, and I'll be preaching again in Claysville, Washington, Pennsylvania, somewhere right around there. A church I've not preached in before, but people that we know. And then I'll preach there through Saturday. And Saturday night after church, I'll travel on to Ohio and get to Dad's and preach Sunday morning, do their homecoming. And then Monday, I'll leave and head for Alabama. It's nonstop from there until about Thanksgiving. And so we desire your prayers and just ask for you folks to keep us in your thoughts and prayers. Know that we'll be praying for you. Amen. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. If you're there tonight, just say amen. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received Him. Lord, let it be that way in our day and hour. When He returns, we're gladly receiving Him because we've been looking for Him, anticipating His coming. For they were all waiting for Him. Verse 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet, besought Him that He would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him, and a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, of the multitude throng thee and press thee. And sayest thou, who touched me? Jesus said, somebody hath touched me. For I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house. Somebody from Jairus' house comes, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. When he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, Weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth. I know that it's really familiar tonight. We know the end result. I'm going to get to that before I'm done, Lord's willing. But as we look at this, what I find is that it's peculiar to me. It seems odd to me that God doesn't answer prayers in chronological order. You and I don't take a number and then God say, all right, number 78,400. And two, come on, step up and get ready. You're next. No, that's not how it works. Matter of fact, if we look at it, it doesn't really seem fair in this story that a man, Jairus, has humbled himself. Somebody that is a ruler of the synagogue arrives at this position in his life, so concerned that his daughter's going to die, that he humbles himself to go be seen in public with the son of a carpenter, and to get down on his face, his hands and his knees, and to beg him to come to his house. Jesus agreed to go, and in the midst of his going on his way, gets stopped by a multitude, and all of a sudden a woman that doesn't even have the audacity nor the courage to introduce herself delays the whole process and gets healed. And while he's there communing with her, her body being whole, her rejoicing, this little girl dies. It doesn't seem fair, Brother Stauffer. Seems like God should have went on uninterrupted. Come back, touch her later. But in the delay, she dies. In the process of time, she dies. Can I tell some of us this evening, as we look around, it seems like we've been waiting and waiting for the Lord to come back. There's been generations before us that have preached hell hotter and heaven higher. Where are they at tonight? But while waiting for Him to come, what's happened? They've died. But I'd like to preach to us tonight, in spite of the fact that they've died, it doesn't mean He's still not coming. I may not preach for long tonight, but I hope you'll help me. Because I want some of us to realize that though we look around and He's not here yet, and you and I could very well pass away before He comes back, I've come to give you some good news. He's still coming. Hallelujah. He's still coming to this little girl's house in spite of the fact that she seems to already be ceased to live. He doesn't refer to her death as death. He says she's just asleep. Amen. If God would help me preach for just a little while tonight, I want to preach on this subject. Living in the delay. Living in the delay. Some of us, that's where we're at. And we need to come to grips with it's not that He's not coming. We're just living in the delay. Amen. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands this way. I'm going to ask your pastor to once again take us to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray for me and I'm going to pray for you. We're going to believe God to have His perfect will in this place with every individual that's here. Would you put yourself out there for God? Let Him know I'm available tonight. Whatever you want to do in me, through me, use me. Would you pray for us, pastor? Take us to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. The church said amen. Excuse my blowing, hacking, my sweating, and my spitting. I don't think I'd be lying by saying I've got hay fever. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's my last night. I might as well roll in it. Enjoy it. Amen. I was looking at this. You can find the story in other gospels. But as you find, I believe that it's recorded basically the same way. But I find that this is toward the end of the chapter, and we find that this is a unique story, because within this story, Brother Jeff, we find a story within a story. We find individuals that their lives are directly affected within what's going on. I love this story and I love the end result. I love everything about it, but most of all, I love the man that's doing the miracles in it. There's nothing that encourages me any more than to read and to observe the life of Jesus Christ, because He is our example of how we can live victoriously. He is the forerunner, the author, and the beginning, and shows us how that we can finish this race and make it till the end. But what is wonderful and unique is I see that He is a man that there is nothing in this world that is more powerful than He is. He demonstrates a tremendous amount of power right within the chapter that I read to you tonight, not just for a little girl that is raised from the dead, not just for an unknown woman that is healed from an issue of a disease that has been there for 12 years. But can I tell you also, he demonstrates power over nature. He demonstrates power over demon spirits. He has all these abilities. But what is wonderful about him, it's not just his power. But Brother Kenny, what motivates this power? Can I tell you what made Jesus so effective? Was not that he was powerful, but was that he was compassionate. You got to hear me tonight, because I believe that the church has been left with the same power that Jesus Christ had. I read where he tells us, greater things than these shall ye do, and you will see, because I go to the Father. But I'm going to tell you the reason we don't demonstrate them, and the reason they don't seem to be as active and populous, I believe, is because we do not yet possess the same compassion that Jesus had, that looked at a soul and loved it as if it were his own, and loved it the way that he did. I praise God for the demonstration that he had of power, but I thank God even more in my life that he had compassion, and that before he ever moved in me, he saw me and he loved me in spite of my condition. I could preach the rest of the night right there, but let me move on and tell you that this story is unique. You and I find that these two individuals that get healed, one lady that is young, 12 years old, gets raised from the dead. Another woman, her age unknown, but her sickness is healed immediately. It seems like they live two completely different lives. This one little girl is somebody that is known. She is Jairus' daughter. She's obviously been raised around the synagogue. She's a churchgoer. She's probably a member. Everybody in the community probably celebrated her birth, has probably known her from a young age. On the other hand, we've got an older lady that has not even been allowed in public for the last 12 years. Her issue, her disease, has ostracized her, has separated her from even kind words in public. She's not been allowed to be around anybody. There is one similarity that connects these two young ladies. And what I find is that it is the symbol 12. I find that this little girl is 12 years old, and this woman has had a disease for 12 years. Can I tell you, at the onset of this little girl's life, what we find is joy and happy and blessings. But 12 years ago, when this little girl was born, this woman came down with this disease and is in the trial of her life. Can I demonstrate this to you this evening? Maybe paint a picture in your mind as Darius comes and his little baby is sick, and he's tried every remedy. He's exhausted every resource. He spent his money. He is exhausted. He doesn't know what else to do. He hears the name Jesus. He knows that Jesus is a miracle worker. And he runs to him and he beckons him and he begs him, would you please come to my house? We see Jesus, the compassion that he shows immediately. The compassion that he demonstrates immediately. He goes, I'll go immediately. Here's what I find. Here's what is unique to me about this story. Is it seems that Jesus has the freedom, the liberty. He's not being thronged. He is easily approached. Jairus can get to where he is. Jairus can talk to him. Jairus got right where he was. But then when I find Jesus begins to move in the direction of Jairus' need, it seems like everybody throngs him. Can I tell you, I believe that we have multitudes that come to our church that are the same way, that they'll sit dead and dried up and passionless on their pew until all of a sudden the Spirit of God begins to move in somebody's direction, and then everybody gets on the bandwagon. I'm going to say this for myself because I'm a preacher. There's been some nights I've got up in dead at cracker juice services. I mean, drier than last year's bird's nest. Nobody wanted to raise their hand. Nobody wanted to praise God. Nobody wanted to give him any glory. And I pulled a train for about 15, 20, 30 minutes. But then the anointing came down and God began to bless me. Not because I was anything, but because I was doing his will and preaching his word. Can I tell you, it seemed like instantly everybody gets involved. Everybody wants to feel what you're feeling, and it makes you want to say, listen, if you ain't going to say amen at the beginning, don't say it at all.
Aren't you glad I'm not that kind of preacher? You can say whatever you want to. It makes me feel good. Doesn't matter whether it's the beginning or the end. Boy, I find everybody's excited. Everybody's now motivated to the point that they find that Jesus is about to do something great. Now they see His motivation. Now they see His compassion. And everybody's thronging Him. Everybody's around Him. But what I find is that while Jesus is moving in that direction, now all of a sudden, an unnamed, unknown character. We don't know her pedigree. We don't know her mom and dad. We don't know anything about her heritage. We don't know anything about this young lady. But she begins to approach from the press behind. She is concealed. She's trying to cover up her shame, her iniquity, and most of all, her disease. She's not supposed to be in this crowd. She's not supposed to be where He is. But as she comes in from the press behind, here's the good news I've come to tell somebody. You may be somebody that is renowned, that is known, and you may be at the front of the line. But can I tell you, if you're not that individual, and you're the unknown individual, you're the person that showed up that nobody knows your name, I've come to tell you, if Jesus is passing through, He's just as much here for you as He is for the pastor, as He is for the deacon, as He is for the song leader. Thank God He's here and can be approached and is familiar and can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Let me slow down and get this just right. This woman comes from the press behind. Her very last efforts of strength. She spent all her money on physicians. And she's not better. She's worse. You're talking about last resort. In a sense, she's just as desperate, more desperate than Jairus' daughter. You can say she's a little selfish about her need. Because though she understands He's going somewhere, though she doesn't feel worthy to stop and introduce herself, she still feels the need to touch Him. Man, I hope somebody's hearing me tonight. Because though you may not feel the time is right to introduce yourself, make a big plea, I feel like some of you are here tonight for this reason, this alone. I feel the need to touch Him. Because something in my life cannot be fixed by anything else. Something in my life is out of sorts and I can't do anything about it. And He alone is able. Here's what I find as she comes in from the press behind. Now you got to watch this. Because she arrives and we don't know who she is. We don't know anything about her. But when she gets there and she touches Him, all of a sudden Jesus stops the progression and says, "Who touched me?" I love this story. I could read it and demonstrate it over and over again. Why? Because this is what I find. Hypocrisy in the church. Because what I find is Peter steps back and everybody's denying. That's what I read to you right here in the very text. It said it went all denied. Finally, Peter said, "Lord, everybody's touching you. What do you mean, who touched you? Can you believe this? Everybody's touching Him. Everybody's hobnobbing. Everybody, come here, Brother Jeff. Everybody is rubbing shoulders. Everybody wants to get an autograph. Everybody wants to buy a CD. Everybody wants to be seen with Him. But there's one that's there and she ain't there for the hobnobbing. Man, God help me right here. She ain't here to get a CD. She's not looking to get an autograph photograph. She's not here just so she can say, I was there when He done such and such. But she's there because she's got a necessity. She's there because she feels the need. Is anybody hearing me tonight? Did you just come for association? Or are you here because you gotta touch Him? My life requires it. My needs are that great. I gotta touch Him. She arrives, touching Him, stopping the whole procession. A no name. Now everybody's denying. Peter's confessing. And Jesus says, "Wait a minute. Somebody hath touched me. For I felt virtue leave my body." You might hear what just happened. A nobody without a name just became a somebody. Oh, hallelujah. I arrived that way. That's how I found God. I didn't have any pedigree. You say your father's a preacher. That didn't make me any closer in line than anybody else. I was a nobody until I become a son of God. And all of a sudden, that progression changes. And now she's got this little bit of faith because she hasn't felt this good in 12 years. Man, I wish some of you'd get that touch tonight. Take you back about 15 years to when you used to shout on this very floor. I believe you touch him, that'll happen. Man, I know I gotta keep on preaching, but I'm gonna tell somebody, I believe if you touch him, that'll happen. I believe it'll take you back to where you had strength that you forgot you knew about. Make you feel like you got hind's feet. Make you wanna walk in high places. Make you feel like you got wings as eagles. Make you feel like you're in a camp meeting with 600 people and the presence of the Lord all around you. Can I tell you right now, I feel that way. And I feel that if we touch him and make it clear, Lord, I've come with necessity. I've come because I need you. I believe if we touch him, he'll change your status from a nobody to a somebody. Somebody, this newly become somebody, can't keep her mouth shut. Somebody's touched me. I got a testimony. Man, if somebody got healed here tonight, somebody's loved one got saved, something got changed, I believe somebody'd have to jump up like Brother Kenny. What do I do with this? I gotta let it go. Gotta let it fly. I gotta tell somebody that I'm not what I was 15 minutes ago. Man, I feel the Lord in this place. I'm not who I was just a little while ago. I'm a new creature. There's something that's taken place in my life. No doubt she stood up. The Bible said she declared for what reason she had touched him. She was still a little bit fearful knowing that she wasn't supposed to be there. But she said, you ain't got to worry about that old me anymore because there's a new me living here. My bleeding has been staunched. I've been healed. I'm a new creature. And before she can finish up, Jesus looks at her and he says, daughter, fear not, thy faith hath made thee whole. Anybody hear what just happened? She came a nobody. She just became a somebody. And by a testimony, now she finds out she's relation. She's a daughter. She's a child of the King. Anybody happy tonight that through the touch of the Master, I'm a part of the family of God? I love the progression. From a nobody to a somebody to a child of the King. But here's what you got to picture while this celebration's going on. Everybody's high-fiving, praising the Lord. Jerry's just standing there and he's probably the most excited. Because somebody that didn't even introduce herself just got healed. And what I'm picturing is Jerry is standing over on the sideline. And for just a brief moment, he's forgot his pain. Long enough to remember, he's coming to my house. I ain't got to worry about it. He may have tapped somebody on the shoulder. Hey, Jesus is coming to my house. I'm going to heal my daughter. You see what he just did? He didn't even look at her. He didn't speak no words. He didn't touch her. She touched him. No introduction. He didn't know who she was. She's healed. He's coming to my house. Man, I wish some of you were hearing this. He's coming to my house. Oh man, there's been enough that we've already seen done in the last little bit of our life that there ought to be something arise in us and say, I'm not going to worry about my current status because he's coming in my direction. I got to hurry. Right at the moment, you can read it for yourself. Jesus is speaking to Jairus, speaking to this woman, speaking and addressing the congregation. He says, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. The very next verse says, while he was yet speaking, someone from Jairus' house arrived and looks Jairus in the eye. Out of the sea of faces that may be unfamiliar, all of a sudden, a familiar one shows up and he's not got a good look on his face. And he doesn't break it to him easy. He just simply tells him the truth. Trouble not the master. Thy daughter is dead. Has anybody ever been right in the middle of somebody's rejoicing and it seemed while somebody else was getting healed, your situation was going untouched? Somebody else's family was getting saved and your family was getting worse. Somebody else was rejoicing over what God had just done, and you were still in financial straits. Whatever it may be, sometimes we've been right there while others had a great uplifting testimony. And we sat and we watched as others were touched while we went unnoticed. I believe Jairus' heart probably fell to his feet. But before he could walk away in disgust and demise and go mourn the body of his daughter, Jesus looks at him and says, "Fear not, only believe, and she shall be made whole." Can I tell some of you tonight, your situation may seem dead, but the words of the Master are still speaking to us over 2,000 years later. Fear not, believe only. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? It doesn't matter how long your sons or daughters have been lost. It doesn't matter how long you've carried that disease in your body. It doesn't matter how bad the situation is. If Jesus Christ is still with us and we're still breathing, there's a word being spoken to us, and that is, fear not, but believe only. Can I tell us, as I see this, Jairus looks back and musters up all the faith he can get, and he starts walking in the same direction as Jesus toward his house. During this delay, during this just little interruption, what should have been happening is Jesus was at my house, but he wasn't there. My situation died in the delay. Jesus arrives at the house. I'm just about done preaching. Are y'all going to die on me? Let me just finish this. He gets to the house and everybody's mourning her. And Jesus looks and he says, "What's all this to do? Why are you weeping? She's just asleep." Now here's what they knew. She's not breathing. Most people, when they sleep, some of you may have sleep apnea and sleep with a mask now. And I'm going to tell you, most of it, when we sleep, we wake up because we've been breathing all night. And they laughed him to scorn, saying, "She's dead." But he puts them all out. Can I show you this in Scripture? I want to tell you tonight that when God refers to sleep, he's referring to the death of all Christians. He's referring to the temporary condition of dead saints. If I could read to you tonight, just a moment out of 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to wrap this message up and get us to a place that we can pray and rejoice. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, considering them which are asleep." Thank you, Sister Hope. "That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again." Is there anybody that believes that tonight? I'm not going to move a minute till I get somebody else believing it. Anybody else believe that Jesus died, but that he rose again? Can I tell you, if you believe that he died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Can I put this timing in perspective? Here's what I see. I see that it didn't happen in the proper perspective of humanity's time. It didn't seem like he got there in time to heal that little girl before she died. It seemed like he waited until it was all just too late. Same way with Lazarus. When it was impossible. When he was 4 days dead. When everybody had lost hope. That's when he arrived. But can I tell you, in this situation, I believe the reason Jesus is tarrying and it's not come yet is because the delay is necessary. What is this delay necessary for? Let me read to you. In Acts chapter 2, you and I have a fulfillment beginning of a prophecy. As Peter steps out of a Pentecostal upper room, he begins to declare, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass, not in the beginning, not somewhere in the middle, but in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." Can I tell you why he's waiting until the last days? He's delaying long enough so that he can heal some of your loved ones, so that he can save some of your children. I know we ought to be praying, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." But at the same time, we ought to thank God for every day of grace that he delays his coming. Because somebody that is afflicted, somebody with issues, just like this woman, how many, be honest, we're riddled with issues. Our family's full of have issues. Our churches have got issues. There's issues on the job, issues in the home. But God's here, delaying long enough so He can work out your issues. Hallelujah. He's trying to make a way to make a last day revival, to work it out before He arrives to make His own. See, I believe tonight He's coming back. But until He comes, I believe He's walking among us. And those that are reaching out and touching Him, their issues. Hallelujah. Man, I wish some of us would take this personal. Their issues are changing. God's taking impossibilities and He's making them new. Let me finish reading what I started reading in 1 Thessalonians. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, now listen, shall not prevent them which are asleep. He may take His time working out some issues. I know that you and I are here tonight and we're thinking He can't go another 20 years. The Lord's got to come back. There may be some of us die before He comes. I believe it could be tonight. Could be before I get done preaching this message. I don't believe there's anything holding or keeping the Lord from coming back. But He knows. God Himself alone knows the time and the date. But until then, Jesus is walking among us. And during that delay, while He's working on our issues, some are going to pass away. Some are going to die. But the good news is that we which are alive won't prevent them which sleep. What's He saying? He's saying that just because some die in the process doesn't mean He's not coming anyway. Can I say it to you again? Some have died in the faith waiting for Him to come, but it doesn't mean He's not coming. Every time somebody says, why do you keep on preaching the coming of the Lord? People have been preaching it for 2,000 years. He ain't come yet. You know why He's delaying for people like that? So He can extend His arm of grace and mercy just another day and tug on their heart. Let them know I'm real and I want to touch you in spite of your unbelief. Can I tell us He's coming anyway? I'm going to say this till some of you get excited about it. He's coming anyway. In spite of the fact that some of us might actually die in the delay, He's coming anyway. But I believe during the delay, He's sending this last day revival, working out the issues for those that are reaching out. Can I tell you, the delay will not prevent them that sleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I've come to comfort somebody. He's coming anyway. I know it's been a long time. I know we've been waiting. I know some have died in the faith, but He's still coming. We're just living in the delay. So you stand with me all over this building. He's coming. Here's what I've come to tell us. Is I believe that when He comes, just like this situation, when He showed up to that house, He came in spite of this little girl already being dead. Most people were scornful. Most people laughed at Him. But can I tell you, everybody that laughed ended up being on the outside. Never got to see the miracle. They just saw the after effects. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be on the inside. Believing and seeing God's miracle working power. Can I tell you, if you're part of the family of God, notice this situation. Who got to go in? Those that were the saved, the elect, and family. I'm part of the family of God. I want to be on the inside when God brings this thing back to life. Is anybody hearing me? I want to be on the inside when God resurrects His church. He comes again and the graves burst open. And in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. I want to be on the inside. If I'm alive when He comes back, I don't want to be on the outside looking in. I'd rather be on the inside looking out, knowing that I've been full of faith and I can see this miraculous change. Here's the challenge for you and I as Christians, is while we live in delay, to not lose the faith. To muster up the courage, and where He leads, go ahead and follow, even when the situation looks too far gone. When your little girl already seems dead, when it seems like the situation is not relevant anymore, fear not, believe only. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. I've come to encourage you, God's coming. He's coming. He's coming. I wish you and I would think about it. We'd ponder it. We'd cherish that day. We'd think about it more often. The Lord is coming back. You and I are just living in the delay. It's not a matter of if He's coming. It's just a matter of when He's coming. He's coming back. We're just living in the delay. His heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Lord, I've preached what You put on my heart. God, what I felt, Lord, sitting at my chair today. God, what I felt pondering in prayer and in meditation. Lord, this is what I felt You give to my spirit. And I pray tonight, Lord, that You'd minister to every soul. God, I pray, Lord, that You'd make us more aware and give us a greater expectancy of Your arrival. God, help us to not be doubters, but to believe only. God, to not just be hearers of the Word, but to be doers of the Word. To put Your faith into action and begin to work it, God, the way that You desire us to. Lord, help us to be watching, to be anticipating Your return and the resurrection of the saints. God, let us be found in that number that is rejoicing, that is watching, that has our lamps full and trimmed and burning, watching and waiting, God, for You to come, even as that thief in the night that it's been mentioned tonight. God, when You come back to claim that is precious to You, God, give us a church that's ready and white. God, give us a church that's on fire. God, as Brother Kenny tried to exhort us tonight and get us excited about that return, Lord, get us excited about serving You. God, give us a church that is alive and that is burning in this last hour with an expectancy of what You're about to do. God, give us life and life more abundant. We ask it in Your name. God, move among us even tonight. Give us a greater expectancy. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to just ask the church tonight, as far as I know, seems to me everybody is a professing Christian. I say that tonight because I don't know the condition of anybody's heart. God knows them alone. I'm not going to assume that anybody's lost or that anybody's saved. I'm going to leave it to God tonight. But I'm going to tell you this, if you and I are saved, there's not a one of us that doesn't need to exercise our faith, that doesn't need to do our best to draw even a little closer to God and to understand the times and the seasons that we're living in. The one rebuke that many got in the Bible was that they could discern the times. They could understand when the fall was coming, when summer was arriving, but they couldn't see when the Lord was coming back. They couldn't discern those times and those seasons. Can I tell you, you and I need a greater discernment. We need a greater understanding, a greater faith that He's still coming. I'm going to ask you, would you come on and meet us around this altar? Let's believe the Lord tonight. Come on, church. Let's find us a place to pray.
Oh, I know He's coming back. That's why I don't want to stay here.
Come on, let's find us a place.
I don't want to stay.
Call on the name
here.
Of the Lord.
He said
yes,
He's
did.
Coming
Hallelujah.
Back. Oh, He said He's coming back, and that's why I don't want to stay here. I don't want to stay here. I know
He's coming back. I know.
Oh, I know He's coming back,
and that's why I don't want to stay here. I don't want to stay here.
He said
He's coming back. Yeah.
Oh, He said He's coming back.
And that's why I don't want to stay here. I don't want to stay here anymore.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
know he's coming back.
Do you know it tonight, church?
I know he's coming back. That's why I don't want to stay here. I don't want to stay here.
He said he's coming back.
Oh, he said he's coming back. And that's why I don't want to stay here. I don't want to stay here. I know he's coming back.
I know it. I know.
I know he's coming back. And that's why I don't want to stay here. I don't want to stay here.
He said he's coming back.
You can believe what he said.
He said he's coming back.
And that's why I don't want to stay here. I don't want to stay here anymore. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. Hallelujah.
He's in the house. Oh, and death had to flee. And now there's light where darkness used to be. And now there is hope, and there's no more doubt. So praise his name, 'cause he's in the house. I know he's in the house. Oh, and death had to flee. And now there's light where darkness used to be. And now there is a hope, oh, and there's no more doubt. So praise his name, he's in the house. A little girl was lying there, and people all were weeping. And they just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping. And then he took her by the hand, and she began to live again. And some began to praise the Lord, and some began to say that he's in the house. Oh, and death had to flee. And now there's a light where darkness used to be. And now there is a hope. Oh, and there's no more doubt. So praise his name, because he's in the house. I was like that little girl. I was dead in all my sins. When Jesus touched this heart of mine, and he gave me life again. I am just a house of clay, but ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see. That he's in the house. Oh, and death had to flee. And now there's a light where darkness used to be. And now there is a hope, and there's no more doubt. So praise his name, because he's in the house. He's in the house. The house. And death had to
death's
flee.
Got to flee.
And now there's light where darkness used to be. And now there is a hope. Oh, and there's no more doubt. So praise his name, because he's in the house.
Hallelujah.
Is anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond his power to solve? Are there situations he's not the master of? Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond his power to solve? Are there situations he's not the master of? Is anything too hard for God? It's out of your hands. You've done all you can do. And you've given God the problem. Now it's no longer up to you. You've prayed the prayer of faith. And now you're standing on God's truth. And while you're waiting on the answer, He has a question for you. Is anything too hard for God?
Whoa, who's got a problem beyond his power to solve? Are there situations he's not the master of?
Is anything too hard for God? Only believe, trust His word, you'll see. His plans are now unfolding, performing perfectly. It's clear how much He loves you. Just look at all He's done. And for all of your questions, well, there's really only one. Is anything too hard for God?
Who's got a problem beyond his power to solve? Are there situations he's not the master of? Is anything too hard for God?
Only believe, trust his word, you'll see. His plans are now unfolding, performing perfectly. It's clear how much he loves you. Just look at all he's done. And for all of your questions,
hallelujah,
well,
hallelujah,
there's really only one. Is anything too hard for God?
Oh, tell me, who's got a problem beyond his power to solve? Are there situations he's not the master of?
Is anything too hard for God?
Hallelujah, thank God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The answer to that question is there's nothing too hard for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. All things are possible with Him. Amen. All those things that look like impossibilities, all those things that seem like the answer would never come. Amen. God can work it out. Amen. There's a lot of things that come our way at times, you know, that, you know, and it doesn't look possible. And then the devil with his big mouth says it's not possible. It'll never happen. Amen. But the devil's a liar. Amen. God can work everything out to his good. And I praise the Lord tonight. Thank God. Amen. For this first week, it's hard to believe that this week has went so quickly. We endured the heat. We just survived. Thank God. We are a survivor. Amen. And the Lord has helped us, but I believe God has done a great work in our hearts and challenged us with his word and helped us to grow. And we just need to stay focused on what we have heard and not let it soon slip from our mind and from our heart, and dwell upon the word and help us that we can grow through that and be a better child of God and more a greater influence in this darkened world. With, you know, we go about our work tomorrow and throughout this week and every day. We'll meet people that, you know, have their mind on just carnality, carnal things. Don't give a thought about tomorrow or the end of their life. Amen. But we need to point them in a better direction and talk about the goodness of God and what the Lord can do for them and help them. They are just like us. There's trouble comes their way. And, you know, we know who to turn to. We know who to look to. Amen. That friend. But they, you know, they try to consult with family members and friends, you know, but they don't get the answer they're looking for. But there's nothing too hard for God. Amen. So let's stand together tonight. Let's look to him with praise upon our hearts, thanking him tonight for what the Lord has done and what we know that the Lord is able to do. And Father, Lord, tonight we thank you tonight, Lord, for the word, God, that you have brought to us. Lord, that you have helped us tonight, God, that we could be, Lord, strengthened and encouraged. Lord, tonight that we can, Lord, be renewed in our faith. Oh, God, as we press on day by day when, Lord, there's so much doubt around us, yet, Lord, we are secure upon that firm foundation. Lord,